You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate, Pastor Darren Solana. We greet you here. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in here to WGOD. God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. All you need to do is go to where he speaks. He's always broadcasting. He's got a word for you today. It's going to come out of the book of Hebrews. We're in chapter 12. Whole bunch of great stuff here we're looking at here. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. We are looking at the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. You can imagine that. Maybe you're a member of a church somewhere, but the Bible teaches, God's telling us, that you and I have a much greater membership than whatever church we belong to down here. And that is, we are members of the church of the firstborn, the church of the prototokos, registered in heaven. And when the roll is called up yonder, praise God, I'll be there. How about you? Is your name in the book? We're in Hebrews chapter 12 today. This is part two of this message. We are having service tomorrow night. My associate pastor starting a brand new book tomorrow night. It's the book of Colossians, verse by verse, four chapters. He'll be in there probably for 2 months, going nice and slow, rolling out the dry erase board. It's open for questions, Lord willing, answers. It's much more informal than a Sunday morning. You are invited. If you're new to the area, if you're looking for a new church home, I invite you to attend one of our services. We focus on the Word of God. If you listen to this program, then you know what we do. Wednesdays at 6 o'clock, Sunday mornings at 10:30. I'm going to wrap up the book of Hebrews this coming Sunday. So, okay, here we go. This is the second part of this message now out of Hebrews chapter 12.
Now, verse 11 reminds us of what we already know. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. You think? Who likes that? Nevertheless, catch the word, nevertheless. Meaning, he's got a reason for this. Nevertheless, afterwards, that is, after being taken out back to God's woodshed, nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been, there's that Greek word, gymnos again, where our word gymnasium comes from, trained by it. It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's the outcome of chastening. It yields fruit. The peaceable fruit of righteousness. That is the peaceable fruit of being right with God. That's what it yields. It yields the peaceable fruit of you being right with God again. That's why we embrace this. God's got the end. Just like the Son had the end in mind, so does God have your end in mind. When he does what he does. Therefore, verse 12, therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. In other words, stop walking around like the hunchback of Notre Dame or some kind of orangutan dragging your knuckles down here on the ground. Stand up straight. Would they say, Marines, chest out and stomach in, you old knee knocker, you? And catch the command, verse 13. Make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. So that would be, don't walk around with your hands dragging and your knees knocking. Strengthen your hands. Stand up straight. Or as they used to say, take it like a man. Or as Frankie Valli would say, walk like a man. Walk like a man. I am not going to sing up here falsetto. The truth is the truth is the truth is the truth. Take it like a man. Walk like a man. Straighten up. Chest out. Stomach in. Now he's saying this. Strengthen those hands which hang down and your knee knocking. Make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame, like a horse, sometimes they'd scratch a horse at the last minute and they'd say, the horse pulled up lame. And that's what we're in. We're in this race. He says, he doesn't want us to pull up lame either. Now, verse 14 and the next imperative command. He says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Peace and holiness. Ringo says, well, this is all songs today. Ringo says, peace and love. God says, peace and holiness. The love will flow later out of the heart. Get those two right, the love will come. Peace and holiness. He says, chase after it. Like a dog chasing a rabbit. Chase peace and holiness. And if you don't have those things, he says, you'll never see God. You'll never see God. Pursue it. You need to possess both of these attributes, peace and holiness. You receive peace from the Prince of Peace. The great dispenser of peace is Jesus Christ. He says, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Also, peace is one of the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you, you will have peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. That means I can't teach about it. I can't explain it to you. It's what a Christian has when he has the Holy Spirit on the inside of him. It's what we need to get through everything, everyday life. Like those families over there in Texas. How in the world are they going to get through this? They can't get through it without the peace of God. Without going to see the doctor to get something. We got to go to God for this. He gives us the peace to help us get through all of these trials out here in the world. We get that from Him. He says, chase after it. Peace. Holiness. The Apostle Paul calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit, capital S, the Spirit of holiness. Here's that verse again. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. These traits must be your traits. Peace. Holiness. Remember what holiness is? It means to be set apart from this evil world. Holy means to be set aside for special use from the Master. Holy. Come out from among them. Be ye holy. Separate. Peter said it. We read it in the Old Testament. Be ye holy, he says, as I am holy. Holy. You've got the Spirit of holiness on the inside of you. This is why you love the things that God loves. This is why you hate the things that God hates. Now, granted, we might still struggle with these things, and we do from time to time. This is why you have a distaste for sin. You might not be perfect at it, but you got a distaste for it. This is why you hunger and thirst after righteousness, because of the Spirit of holiness that dwells on the inside of you. It's not you. Don't even credit yourself for that. That comes from Him. the Spirit of holiness who resides on the inside of you, without which no one will see the Lord. Without this Spirit on the inside of you, you'll never see God. Romans 8, 9 says, whoever does not have this Spirit, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness, whoever does not have the Spirit does not belong to God. Romans 8, 9. Now, I'd imagine that that person is never chastened for anything. He's only accused. He's only accused by the devil. He's not chastened by God. You're only accused by the devil. You had to get the sin part right first. You got to get the sin part right. Verse 15. Look, an unbeliever is not chastened like you are. This is for God's... Now, granted, he chose us before the foundation of the world. I've heard a million testimonies, and mine as well, that God's had his hand on his own for years, even when they were children. Verse 15, looking carefully, lest anyone should fall short of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. And by this, many become defiled. Bitterness defiles you. It's like gangrene. I encourage you to get rid of that stuff. If you're a child of God, He will get rid of it for you if you prefer. I think it's in your best interest to get rid of it on your own instead of God doing it for you. It'll be a lot less painful. I love what Charles Stanley says. He says that God has his own toolbox. In it, you'll find a chisel for a little sculpting, some sandpaper for smoothing out all the rough edges. And then for the unfortunate or for the ultra stubborn, you'll find a saw. A saw in God's toolbox. A saw to remove limbs, to hack off hands, or to cut off those roots of bitterness that you have. God will not use sandpaper to get rid of the root of bitterness. He's going to break out the saw for that. Or perhaps he has one of those things. I was just watching this Sherlock Holmes movie. Sherlock Holmes and the claw. You know that old thing? They whap down there in the dirt, and then they yank and they pull that thing out by the roots. He probably has a claw in there as well. Maybe he has to use that to dig down deep, extract all those things that cause you harm from the roots. All of these for the child of God. Everyone else is illegitimate and not sons. He's talking to you. The unbeliever is convicted of sin. Repent. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus before it's too late. Yours is different. Yours, he's chiseling and sandpapering you away to transform you into the image of his son. But for you, it's the toolbox for you. Sound like a pirate. Arr, it's the toolbox for you. Verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his own birthright. For you know that afterwards, when he wanted, look at this, he tried to do this when it was convenient for him. For you know, this is Hebrews 12, 17, that afterwards, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. So the answer for why not is right here in this text. The words, they leap off the page. When he wanted, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, the Bible says Esau was rejected. He had ulterior motives and not genuine repentance. See, it's a little too late for that now, for him. When he wanted something, he sought it. And God always knows the difference. He searches, remember, he says, reins and hearts. Remember that Greek word for reins is intestines. God searches your intestines. You know, when you say, oh, I had a gut feeling about that. Even that he knows. But can you imagine giving up your spiritual birthright in your current family for a Twinkie? Or for a bear claw? Well, bear claw. Now, this note from John MacArthur says this. Esau desired God's blessings, but he did not want God. He regretted what he had done, but he did not repent. Esau is an example of those who willfully sin against God and who are given no second chance. Because of their exposure to the truth and their advanced state of hardness. Esau was an example of the profane person. Now here's another good note. This is from my Bible Knowledge Commentary. Esau was remorseful at the loss of the older son's double portion, but it was too late for him. His father could not reverse the blessing. So it is with an apostate. He has no real regard for spiritual values. He willingly renounces Christ in order to escape reproach, suffering, or martyrdom. He cannot be renewed to repentance. There may be remorse, but no godly repentance. So no one understands that there's two types of sorrow that we read about in the Bible. There's godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. 2 Corinthians 7:10, it says godly sorrow produces repentance, not leading to salvation, not to be regretted. But the sorrow of this world produces death. Worldly sorrow can be found in the person of Judas Iscariot. And godly sorrow in the Apostle Peter, who it says wept bitterly and was restored. Verse 18. Now this comment he's going to make here is referring to what happened when Moses was about to climb up Mount Sinai and receive the Ten Commandments from God. So that's what the writer's talking about. God said to Moses, see to it that no one touches this mountain. Now, verse 18. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched, and that burned with fire into blackness and darkness and a tempest. All right, again, he's comparing the old covenant with the new, like he's been doing throughout this whole book. This is what happened to you in the old. But Jesus has something better for us. You see, Jesus went up and he touched the leper. You were not allowed to do that. Back in that day, God said, do not touch this mountain. If anyone is on it, any man, woman, child, animal, look what he says here. If as much as a beast touches this mountain, it'll be stoned or shot. Now Jesus comes up and touches the leper. So he's comparing these two covenants. It's not like it was. The Lord Jesus tore this veil in two. You can approach him now. Verse 18, for you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and burned with fire and to blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of the trumpet and the voice of words so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure what was commanded. And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion. All right, so instead of Mount Sinai, the old, now he's going to give us something new, something better. All right? Something better. But that's why, hence the phrase there, but you. That was for them. This is for you now. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant or the new testament, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks of better things than that of Abel. Now here's a church that you and I are already members in. Praise God. And I can't wait for this roll to be called up yonder. This is verses, I'm sure that's where the verses to this song came from. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved on earth shall gather over on the other shore, and that roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Instead of a mountain that cannot be touched, you and I have come to the heavenly Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, the city of the living God, surrounded by an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. Man, oh man, hang that name outside your church door. Right? You got First Baptist, Second, you got First this, First that. How about that sign? The church of the firstborn. The church of the prototokos. Praise God. And he says, your names are written in the roll. That's some good news today. You know, I got to be thinking, you know, as the pastor of this church, you know, I do my very best, flesh and blood, very best. That if someone ever messes with someone that's a member of my church, you're going to have to deal with me. Or even worse than that, you're going to have to deal with him. Imagine how it is being a member, having your role, having your name recorded in this role of Almighty God. I think this is why these guys wrote that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Or what shall we say to these things? What things? That my name and your name is recorded in the heavenly rolls up in heaven. This is what leads these guys to say these things. What shall we say then? If God be for me, who can be against me? My name is written in the rolls of the church of the firstborn. That's good news. Let these truths be the wind in your sail today. You know, these wacky Muslims, they show up, they say, prepare to meet your maker. Yeah. All right? Right. You really want to hurt me? Make me live some more in this evil world. If you were smart and knew what you were doing, you wouldn't touch me. Because that is the real torture for the child of God, is having to see all of this evil out here. Little children dying of cancer, drowning out here. That's painful to endure. And it's all because of sin. Sin reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those that didn't sin in the likeness of Adam. That's why little children die out here. It's because of sin. And someday soon, he's going to do away with sin, praise God. Until that time, you and I, remember, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was pleading through you. All right. Let's wrap up this chapter 12 with the last imperative, verse 25. He says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him, catch the capital H there, For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now has promised, saying, yet once more I'll shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, and of the things that are made, so that the things which cannot be shaken, that would be you. So that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. And that's where we're at on this sixth day of July, year of our Lord 2025. And I believe that Almighty God is already shaking this world right now like a giant snow globe. So that what may not be shaken may remain. So how's your faith today? Are you willing to trust God as you're going through adversity? Jesus said, take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that this day come upon you unexpectedly. For it'll come as a whap snare on all those that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Then he says, watch therefore. You see, here it comes. You see, in paragraph 3, subsection 4, you see, there's an escape clause in this contract. He says, watch therefore. Remember, he's coming again a second time apart from sin to everyone who is. Everyone who has an appointment at my chiropractor, you see. Because you got a crick in your neck from looking up. That's who he said it, not me. That's who he's coming back for. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to ESCAPE, escape. Pray, dear God, that you be counted worthy. How in the world are you going to be worthy? There's only one way. That's to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the blood on your doorpost, is his blood. Pray you be counted worthy to escape all these things that are going to come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. That's Luke 21:34. Last two verses. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we praise you. We praise you in the house. Lord, we thank you. I don't know where to start. We could thank you here until 12 noon. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the gift of faith. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for receiving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you that we're counted worthy by the name of Jesus Christ. We call on him. We receive him as our Lord and Savior. Don't pass us by. We call on your name to be saved. Like you, we pray your word back to you. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. So don't pass us by. And Lord, we thank you and praise you that our names are written in the final and the only church roll that matters, the church of the firstborn. We praise you now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.